You participated in the season of prayer on Friday. I purposely left you at the tomb. Although that tomb was a little bit different, because on Good Friday, when you left this building, that tomb was sealed. That tomb contained a body. And this morning, we start back at that very same tomb, but it's not the same tomb, because that tomb is open, and that tomb is empty. Lots of people saw Jesus, the risen Jesus, that day. Specifically, it started with a lady named Mary Magdalene. Then two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Finally, on that day, Jesus appeared to the disciples himself. The Apostle Paul talks about the people that saw the risen Savior. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 8. "For what I received, I passed on to you on this first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and the last of all, he appeared also to me as to one abnormally born." I think this is why I like the Apostle Paul so much. I relate to him. He's abnormal. I'm okay with that. I can be abnormal. But as you read through his account, that's a lot of people that saw Jesus. And Paul, well, he, at that point, takes on that moment that says, "I was the last one to see the risen Jesus." And when he wrote that statement in Corinthians, he probably was right. But now, we know different. Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. This is where we have been in the month leading up to Easter, talking about the person of Jesus and the fact that John saw Jesus. But it wasn't the Jesus that we think we see all of the time. This is John's description. "I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven gold lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. His hair on his head was white as wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in the furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing water. In his right hand he held the seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead. And now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys to death in Hades.'" This vision experienced by John is pretty intense. Again, the picture is quite different from those that we see and we hang on our walls and we look at in our houses. It's full of all of these symbolisms that we've been looking at over the past month. And in case this is your first Sunday with us, let's catch you up where we've been. When we began to look at all of these different symbols, we come to the understanding that in verses 12 and 13, that Jesus is the representative between humanity and God. We began to understand that Jesus is the wise seer. And now I know you're going to say, "Stop, we didn't do that sermon." I know, I owe you a sermon, all right? I was sick on the second week of the series. Next week, we're going to do the makeup sermon. So we'll actually talk about the wise seer next week, but that is verse 14. In verse 15, we see that he is the authority of God. And well, last week we looked at verse 16, and we see that he is powerful. We've got all of these symbols together. However, today we want to figure it out because, yes, Jesus is all of those, but there's one more very important title that you understand. This is who Jesus is. Jesus is the Messiah. Verses 17 and 18. When I saw him, I fell at his feet, though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first, the last. I am the living one. I was dead. Now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades." And so this scene that we're looking at, we kind of saw this last fall when we were in Daniel. And we stopped in chapter 10. And Daniel had a vision very, very similar to this one. And well, when John was finished taking in this picture again, he did the only thing he knew what to do. He fainted. He passed out. He looked at it and he said, "I don't know who you are. I'm figuring it out. You say..." And he just dropped over like he was dead. Jesus being Jesus, he said, "Calm down a minute, take a breath." He reaches out and, well, he tells him, "Don't be afraid of what you see." Money, amazing how sometimes we see things in Scripture and we get all afraid. "I don't understand it. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what..." Jesus, just take a moment. Breathe. Don't be afraid. And then we go from just seeing Jesus to hearing Jesus. As Jesus himself tells us his story, I would like to say from beginning to end, there's only one small problem. Truly speaking, there is no beginning and there is no end. Because Jesus starts out his story by saying, "I am the first and the last. I am the living one." Clearly stated, Jesus wants you to know, "I am God." He starts out that verse saying, "I am. I am." If you back up to verse 8 when Jesus is talking, he says that, you know what? "I am eternal." Here he says first and last. Verse 8 says, "I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty." What we know is, paraphrase, let me make it real simple, I am God, I am the beginning, I am the end, and I am everything in the middle. I am that I am. This is how God introduced himself to Moses. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is who you say, I say to the Israelites that sent you. I am has sent me to you." He doesn't really need a name. He just looks at it and says, "I am. I was here yesterday and the day before and the day before and the century before and the eon before. There is no time that contains me. And you know what? I'm going to be the resurrection of life." He calls himself the way, the truth, and the life. And he tells us in him we can have life and it can be fulfilled. Why about this thing about life? I mean, all Jesus came to do was take me to heaven, right? That's the goal of this exercise. You know, I come to church, I be a really good person, I do the things I'm supposed to do, don't do the things I'm not supposed to do. And when it's all over and my body dies, then I get to go to heaven. That's the goal, right? That's not the goal. Matter of fact, you won't find a Jesus message in Scripture that says that's the goal of the exercise. The goal of the exercise was that he wanted to give us life to the fullest. And yes, while that may eventually mean a life in heaven, that life begins here. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority. All things have been created through him and for him." He is life. But I'm sure as John is listening to Jesus, he's like, "Yeah, I know. I got it. But you weren't always life. Because I'm the apostle that stood there at the cross. I'm the apostle that you looked at me and said, 'Take care of mom for me.' I watched you, Jesus. You died. And you know what?" Jesus says, "Absolutely.
I died, but now take a good look. I'm alive forever and ever. Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Then I being John, saw on the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals and to open the scroll or even look inside? I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scrolls and look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. See? The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scrolls and its seven seals. Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne. What a demonstration Jesus is putting on for John. In his statement, he informs him that I was indeed dead. And when Jesus cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, the tombs broke open. The bodies of many people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion to those with him who were guarding, when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God. Folks, Jesus died, and it was like no other death in human history. Rich read the entire story earlier today. The ground literally shook at the death of Christ. The curtain in the temple that was separating God from humanity, it says it tore, not from bottom to top, but from top to bottom, lets you know God coming to man, not the other way around. It said the dead rose. And even amongst all of that chaos, there was this one tiny message from the unbelievers. They saw it. Surely, this man, he was the Son of God. This wasn't a magic trick. This wasn't a great Houdini moment where somebody was putting on a show and they were putting Jesus in, like, now you see him, now you don't. Look, he's gone. This man was dead. He was placed in a tomb. And then he lay there for 3 days. And as much as some would like to say, well, that was a nice life, thanks, roll the credits, pull up the thing, we're all done here, let's go home. But we know that's not the end of the story. Matthew chapter 27, verses 1 through 6, after the Sabbath, at the dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look in the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him, they shook and became like dead men. Well, there's a statement we've heard before, right? The angel said to the women, do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. When that tomb opened up, once again, the ground shook. The guards, these trained men, these men that had gathered around the cross to crucify him, when that stone began to move, I would probably be with them. They passed out in fear. That stone was moved, not so Jesus could get out, so that we could get in, so that the people would have access to see what was going on. And just in case the ladies decided it was time to have a fainting spell at what they were seeing, the angels caught him. And the angels pronounced him alive again. Do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus, They came to see Jesus. They wanted to see Jesus. Of course, the Jesus they came to see was a body wrapped in a blanket that needed some spices on it to slow deterioration and decay. But they were stopped because that body wasn't there anymore. It was gone. Back in Revelation chapter 5, John sees the Lamb of God, and well, it says he's been slain. And Jesus says, you know what? That is what you're looking at here, folks. Though it were dead, it is now alive, is what it said about that lamb. He is shown worthy to take the scroll, which is the redemption for humanity. That lamb was the only one that was worthy to stroll down that center aisle and say, see that scroll? I'll take that. I'm worthy. I paid the price. I shed my blood. I allowed myself to be killed. And you know what? I am the one that came out of that tomb. I shall take that scroll. This is my deed. This is my world. This is what we read. So Christ sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Yeah, John saw Jesus, and he heard Jesus. And when Jesus was all done telling him his story about how he was here, he died, and he rose. He says, by the way, there's something else that you need to know, John. Notice it doesn't say we. I hold the keys to death in Hades. The Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. One way, folks. One key holder. There aren't many keys that you can find and you can put them on a key ring. There is one key, and it's held through Jesus. You see, back in the garden when humanity made their choice, death entered this world. And I'm not talking about physical death. I am talking about spiritual death that separates us from God. That idea of the curtain between me and God. And when Jesus became God's risen sacrifice, he unlocked everything. That's the importance of the stone. That's the importance of the curtain. Everything is now open. Death has been conquered through eternal life. And Hades and hell have been conquered as that gap, it's been closed. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. Ooh, I like mysteries. Well, here's the mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself in imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true: death has been swallowed up, way up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I did not put my faith in a cross. I like the cross symbol, but that's not where my faith is. And I didn't put my faith in a tomb. I don't need to ever go visit the physical tomb because there's nobody there. I put my faith in an individual, a person. And his name is Jesus. He alone is the Lamb that was slain. He alone is the one that can bring death, bring life from death. I'll get that right. That's why I stopped to say it nice and slowly. Bring life from death. He alone is the only one that experienced death and conquered it and never went back there again. You say, wait, Lazarus, Lazarus got to go again, okay? He just got a do-over. He got to have two funerals. Jesus, he only got one. He's not going back to that grave. So the question we have to ask ourselves today is, we came here, have you discovered Jesus? That's an interesting word. What does it mean to discover Jesus? Well, let me give you some things that have to happen if you're going to truly understand and discover who Jesus is. Step number one, you must have seen Jesus. Now, before you're waiting for a physical appearance, you're waiting for the sky to open up and Jesus to be beamed down in front of you, you go, oh, Jesus. I'm not talking about a physical understanding and seeing of Jesus. But you know what? You do absolutely have to see him for who he is. You have to understand that he is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. You have to start there. You have to see those truths if you're going to discover Jesus. But just seeing him isn't enough. There's a lot of people that gather information about Jesus. Listen to all the statistics I've used during this sermon series that I just pulled right off of Google. There's a lot to be known about Jesus, but it comes to a much bigger step. You have to accept what you see. You must acknowledge your need for a Savior, and you must identify him as the one true source of salvation. And in that moment, you have to open the door. That was a good moment. That's okay. That's a good moment, right? You understand. You didn't see it. You did that right when I did my little turn here. That was perfect. You have to allow him to come into your life. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, hears the story, hears what I said, and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. That's the choice, folks. You can't just see it. You have to accept it. And you can't just accept it. What? You must follow Jesus. You know what? As I read through Scripture, the only invitation Jesus ever gave was to come and follow. He never gave the invitation, come to church with me. He never gave the invitation, come to heaven with me, although he did say, I'll be back for you. His invitation was always really simple. Come and follow. Come and follow me. He tells us that the only solution is that, well, Jesus ever provided was come and follow. That was the solution, right? The guy comes up to Jesus and says, how do I inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, I'll just keep all the commandments. I did that. What else do I need? That's not working. Got a solution. Sell everything you got and come and follow. Oh, I don't know about that. You know how much stuff I got? You understand, the exercise wasn't about the selling, it was about the following. Okay, that was the invitation. Turn from what you have and come and follow. The only way you're ever going to see Jesus. Jesus said, you believe because I told you, I saw you under the fig tree, and you will see greater things than that. He then added, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open up and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Since Jesus last walked this planet, we have seen many, many things. Some things I never thought I'd see in my lifetime. Some things I'm still hoping that I'll see. I would love to still be staying on this planet when Jesus comes back. That would be awesome. I'd like to be at Busch Gardens like I was yesterday and be on a roller coaster and the coasters start down and I just kind of stay right. Wouldn't that be cool? That would just freak somebody out at that moment. You're on the coaster? And yeah, that would be awesome. At some moment in time, you understand this man that rose from this grave, he'll be back. It was a promise. But when he comes back, we know he's not coming to sacrifice again for sins. He's coming to reclaim his world. So this morning on Easter morning, while we expect to stand by the tomb and ooh and ah over an empty tomb, that's not the important thing. My question is, have you seen Jesus? Because if you have, he absolutely, positively is the Messiah. The one that everybody was waiting for, the Redeemer of the earth. And he is the Lamb of God. And it is your choice whether you open that door and allow him to come in.